Producer and director J.J. Abrams is best known for his TV series, Alias and Lost, and for movies like Mission Impossible 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness. But his latest project isn't on a screen. It's a book called S. Two books, actually, or at least two novels. One is written inside the other, in the form of margin notes exchanged by two fictional characters. The book comes stuffed with postcards, old photographs, a decoder wheel, and a coffee shop napkin with a map drawn on it. Critically acclaimed novelist Doug Dorst took on the challenging task of writing S. To the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon spoke with him.
Doug, where did the original idea for S come from?
The idea originated with JJ. He was at LAX one evening and found a Robert Ludlum novel on a bench outside that somebody had left. Inside the book, someone had written, "Please pick me up, share me with someone else." And just that simple thing got him thinking about how people might connect in the context of a book and what an interesting relationship that might create. So JJ, being who he is, that immediately turned into what kind of amazing project can we make with that? And so he thought it would be a great idea to do a novel that unfolded in the margins of another novel.
S is truly a beautiful object, Doug. When I first opened it, I thought of Mark Danielewski's House of Leaves. We've got the postcards, the handwritten letters, the photocopies of the sheets from the journals and the telegrams, paper napkin from a cafe with a map of various tunnels. How do all of these items fit within the world of S?
We chose items that would deepen the Straka mystery and also deepen the reading experience. We knew from the beginning that we wanted to have that as an available option, that that was one of the things we were going to do with this book, is open it up to materials that were outside the text and be able to incorporate them into the story. And as I was writing, I made a sort of wish list. Some detail would come up and I would think, oh, that would be an amazing thing to have a document for. And I made a wish list of all of the external documents and physical objects that I would like to have. And I decided that it was not my job to worry about feasibility or cost or anything. So I had this absurd, insane wish list. I figured it was someone else's job to tell me no.
Let's talk a bit about the novel within the novel, Ship of Theseus by V.M. Straka. Can you give me, Doug, a brief outline without spoiling anything, but a brief outline of what happens in Ship of Theseus?
The book opens with an amnesiac character walking the streets of this vaguely threatening, gloomy old city. Much of the rest of the novel revolves around the question of his trying to discover who he is, who he has been, who he will be. He gets shanghaied onto a very strange ship, and that's what takes him away from the old city and starts him on this sequence of adventures, throughout all of which there is a sort of lurking strangeness, but a sense also of forward momentum, that in order to find out who he is, he has to keep going forward with this.
Yeah. This obviously would be the perfect time to have you read an excerpt from Ship of Theseus.
Sure. This is chapter one of Straka's novel. Chapter one, What Begins, What Ends. Dusk, the old quarter of a city where river meets sea. A man in a dark gray overcoat walks the quarter's streets, a tangle of cobblestone passages that spin from the harbor and thread themselves through neighborhoods where the smells of cooking spices vary, but the sad decrepitude is shared. The buildings, black with the soot of centuries, loom over him, blocking out most of the sky and making it difficult to know at any given moment whether he's heading toward the water or away from it. The man suspects this is a city in which even lifelong residents find themselves lost. He does not know whether he is such a person, though. He does not know whether he has ever been here before. He does not know why he is here now. A steady drizzle falls. The man in the overcoat passes people, taking cover under awnings and overhangs, plodding forward with heads down and hats low, huddling under rags in alleyways. Though this is a city of watchful eyes, gazes wash over him and roll away. This is a man who does not attract attention. He turns a corner. A wide-hipped woman stands outside her home, a narrow brick building four stories tall and covered with a black layer of lichen. And she hangs up a sign offering rooms. She's the wife of a sea captain who left 4 years ago on a ship bound for a remote land where the hills were said to be bursting with silver, the valleys teeming with exotic fruits and game. His return is 8 months overdue, and the bank account is empty. So she's begun taking in and feeding poxy and gnat-gnawed sailors, in addition to her 3 ravenous sons, who are all dreaming of following their father and shipping out into the unknown. None of them yet knows that her husband's bones are lying under a mile of water, some beneath a stack of cracked timbers just off Cape Fortuna, a place they've never heard of, and some scattered for miles by pelagic scavengers. This is what happens, of course. Men get lost, men vanish, men are erased and reborn.
That was great. Thank you, Doug. Excellent reading.
Thank you.
The title, Ship of Theseus, is a reference to Plutarch's paradox, this question of whether an object which has had all its parts replaced remains fundamentally the same object. And that question is a central one throughout S, because the theme of identity is a big part of the storylines, isn't it?
It is. It's connected to the mystery of Straka, the question of, you know, who was Straka? In many authorship controversies, the Straka controversy, the Shakespeare controversy, there is the question of whether the writer could have been someone of the means of the training of the experience who could possibly have written the work that one is reading. So yeah, that question of who he was as a writer seemed connected to the question of who he was as a person. And it seemed like the same issues were in play for Jennifer and Eric, the two readers who are interacting in the margins.
Eric's a grad student, right, who is studying Straka, and Jen is the undergrad who discovers the book.
That's right. And Eric, he's been booted out of the program. He has crashed and burned spectacularly as a grad student. And there's a bit of bad blood between him and the professor with whom he was working, and also one of his fellow grad students. He has been into Straka, studying Straka, reading Straka since he was in high school. And now he's in his late 20s. And he's pretty much been drummed out of academia, which is really what he'd been counting on all along. And Jennifer is a college senior. She's in that position, I think, that a lot of us were. You're about to leave college and you have no idea what you want to do. And, you know, she's not sure how much of a self she even has right now.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading the novel within the novel, Ship of Theseus, along with Eric and Jen's notes to each other as I go. But I came across one reader who has decided to read the novel within the novel, Ship of Theseus, first, and then go back and read Eric and Jen's notes after. So I wonder, do you think it matters how a reader reads S?
I think it matters, but I think it matters mostly to the reader, which is to say that I think you have to find the way that's best for you. And it probably has something to do with the way we're all wired, you know, how we can absorb information. From what I've been hearing, there are radically different strategies. There are people who've read the whole book, and there are people who go chapter by chapter, read a chapter of Ship of Theseus, then go back and read the notes. And then there are people who are doing it page by page. Presumably, there are some people who are reading it all simultaneously. And I am amazed. I am humbled before someone who can pull that off, because my brain does not work that way.
When I was spending some time on your website, Doug, I discovered a link to an intriguing website that is connected with S, Radio Straka. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it was a project that the UK publisher Canongate put together in advance of the launch, in which they recorded 5 hours of Straka-related pirate radio, music and musings and ramblings and rantings of one particular Straka enthusiast. And it's kind of insane in the best possible way.
Hello, hello. Yes, welcome. Welcome to this Radio Straka. I'd like to welcome you. My name is not important. I would like to begin at the water with this broadcast. So, this show is about the oceans, with what we find in them, on them, over them. But first, some music.
Doug Dorst is the author of S. Emmy Award-winning filmmaker J.J. Abrams came up with the idea for the book. To the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon spoke with Doug Dorst.